Welcome to Sourcecast. I'm Joey Lombardi. This week, we were very fortunate to have guests on the show. I decided I wanted to cover the topic of millennials due to an article and video that I had seen while writing the blog. Millennials are a perpetual topic in the workplace for the millennials themselves, for managers, for the news media. And you never seem to actually get the opinions of actual millennials on actual topics. So I gathered a few of them together who were kind enough to join the show. And we had a very frank conversation about some of the concerns about millennials, some of their concerns, their take on the concept of millennials, the being called millennials. I thought it was a really good conversation. I'm very appreciative of the fact that John, Napoor, and Tori joined the call, gave me some of their time. It's funny to hear a little bit of apprehension. You know, we all have jobs that are not related to this podcast. It's funny to hear their apprehension about answering some questions and their reservations start to melt away as we start to get into the conversation. I'm very happy with the way the podcast turned out. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to do this like Nerdist where we just like kind of just slide in, and at some point I'll decide where to edit in this conversation. I don't know how professional to take this. I don't know how if I should pretend like we don't know each other. If I randomly got some very active millennials off the street and said, "Hey, would you like to listen to my podcast?" Or if I should just, you know, come out with it and say, "Hey, I work with you guys." What would you rather hear? Would you rather hear the natural, "Oh, I know these people?" Or would you prefer, you know?
I think it'll be hard to pretend like we don't know each other, so you might as well just like be open with it.
Napoor, did you actually listen to the first podcast?
I did, and I told Silverwood that when I heard the intro song, I was like, this has to be from something, and he was explaining that that's from Rick and Morty, and you guys are always saying that, so.
Yeah, that's our shtick. Like, we've been using. That was like when we were saying Jenkins a few years ago, that was like every other word was Jenkins, and now it's Schwifty.
No, Schwifty.
Schwifty. It's hard to keep up.
I like the first podcast. I think you did a good job with like talking and then like the intro music, and then you finished and there was like exit music. Do you want us to mute ourselves like when we're like, if say for example you ask a question and like Tori's talking, do you want me to mute myself? Like, is this like a work thing where like you mute yourself when you're not talking?
I don't really know. I mean I don't know what the etiquette is really. This is the first time that I've done a multi-person recording. So I'm just kind of jazzed that it's working. So what were you? So when I asked you to be on the podcast, were you like, why are you doing this, Joe?
Oh, so I don't know if you probably don't know. So on Monday, I think it was, Todd, Justin, and I got into like a conversation, and we were talking about millennials. And Justin knows that now I get like sensitive about like millennial talk. And so when you sent me this podcast, I thought it was like some kind of prank. So I literally pinged Todd immediately and was like, "Did you tell Joey about my millennial thing?" And he was like, "No."
So this is probably a good like segue point to start. It's a like it's kind of scary because when I was coming up, I'm not going to mention the company's name, but when I was younger, there's stories of our security division actually finding people doing things out in the internet, things they shouldn't have been doing, but they would find ways of finding you or finding things that you were doing, and it would come up in conversation and in subtle ways. I always get freaked out anytime I do something like this or ask somebody to do something like this, and you get paranoid.
Yeah.
So you know, that's why the blog, it's very, very vanilla. There's not a lot of opinion. There's like a waft of opinion, but this is just going off the reservation, I think.
We might have an echo.
You have a major echo.
Does it repeat though?
It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
You went from sounding great to sounding Schwifty. Yeah, if one of you goes in the other room.
Yeah.
Okay.
While they're sorting their thing out, what I was saying was, you know, so they would find things and you get a little bit paranoid about what kind of content that you can mention.
Host.
Yeah, you can host or what you can say. But, you know, the intent of this show and the intent of the blog, I think, if I had to rationalize it, is sort of saying, hey, we're out there, we're doing work, right? And sometimes the work that you do doesn't necessarily, it's hard to translate that into a resume. And in this world of multimedia and content, I was sort of thinking, wouldn't it be kind of cool to put together some artifact of knowledge that you have, right? So whether or not it's, you know, and you say, hey, potential employer or current employer, there's this stuff that I'm doing off to the side. It's a way of reaching out to people. It's a way of learning. And it's physically accessible to anybody who wants to see it. So, you know, I think if you're careful with this sort of thing, it could be a good thing. But I guess if you're irresponsible, it could backfire. So I guess fair warning, we shouldn't mention our company name.
Last names?
No last names, no company name. We shouldn't mention specific managers or directors or senior directors or VPs, right? Those are the ground rules. We are going to touch upon, you know, certainly there's been a focus on millennials. We've been talking about it in the office. And again, depending on where I cut in for listeners, no qualms. We all work together except for Victoria. Tori is John's girlfriend. So she has she's probably the dark horse in this. You know, she has she's the wild card. She's not homogenized like the rest of us. So the kickoff for this particular podcast, I watched this 3 or 4 minute video clip, and it's millennials. How does corporate America engage millennials? How do we keep them happy? What do we do? You're right. And it's just like, and it swings back and forth between the negative connotations, these positive connotations. I guess my working premise is your people, right? Everybody's people, and what motivates people, young or old, is it different now? And then kind of get into the, we'll call it stereotypes. Did any of you have a chance to watch the video?
Yeah, I watched it. I think it was a couple of nights ago.
So what were your thoughts?
Well, first, I think many of the times when you watch a video like that, you think, all right, well, here's another 40s, 50s something guy who has some great epiphany about how millennials are thinking so much differently from everybody else. But I kind of did agree with him. I mean, the traditional structure of the way we did things before are most certainly not what I like to do when I work for a company. I mean, the big thing that I remember is he's talking about paying your dues, which is, I think, even people older than me really don't feel that that's what you need to do when you work at a company anymore. Like, you don't want to be stuck there for 50 years before you really get your honest dues. So that's the one thing that resonated with me by the end of it.
And I think companies are seeing the value of this whole due structure, right? When you're younger, you have more energy, all right? Or I shouldn't use the word energy, right? Because that's generalization.
Ambition.
There's ambition or whatever you want to say. There's energy to move forward. There's energy to do things. There's less entanglements generally. I'm going to make a generalization. You probably, when you're out of college, you don't have kids. You can probably do things a little bit differently. You probably want to cut through the BS and just sort of deliver things. I mean, you know, working with you, I could definitely see you're someone who's very focused on delivery. You want to get stuff done.
Exactly. I mean, red tape, it just seems to be the old way. And now, you know, not to use an example like Google, like everybody does, but I mean, the agile and sprint development where it's just more natural flow and you're just kind of spitballing ideas around and it's just, all right, we'll take it and run with it. I think that's like how our brains are wired, you know? We're way more communicative. Like, we're almost always talking to somebody in some form, or we have a running text message or a running Facebook message. It's like, you're never shut off. So you kind of want to have that same flow of ideas and just constant progress when you're at work, not having to always pass through some sort of approval or some sort of gateway whenever you have something that needs to get done.
So Tori, you work at a smaller company. Do you find yourself in that same situation?
Yeah. Somewhat, but I don't think I do as much as I hear John talk about. For instance, I see the owner of our company every day, and anything that I like think of for the company that I think would be valuable to her, I can just say it to her in passing. In the design department, there's only 6 people in our whole design department because my company is much smaller. I think we have 50 total employees, and it's pretty cool. I feel like I have a lot more impact because I can talk to people right away if I have an idea for something. I think my opinion's kind of maybe skewed by the fact that I'm the only millennial there. Everybody else is pretty much like over 30 and most of them are in their 50s. So I think maybe they're like, oh, this young person, maybe she knows what's up. Like, maybe we should listen to her. So I don't know if that's true over all companies.
So they're very willing to listen to you. You don't feel like you're being overshadowed.
Definitely. I think I might be taken more seriously because of my age, which is a weird turn of events, but I mean, it's great. I mean, I love it.
And John, I mean, you know, coming from our corporate background, Nupur, feel free to kick in too. Do you feel like you're taken seriously? Do you feel like you get poo-pooed a lot?
I mean, personally, no. I don't know, Nupur, you haven't been with our company as long, but I think you're right up to speed. You have a pretty important job.
Yeah, I think that people definitely will like listen to what I have to say, but sometimes I feel like people have that kind of attitude that you're new to the business world, so you can say your opinion, but like I don't know how serious I'm going to take it just because of your lack of experience.
I think relationships are a barrier sometimes, where you'll have an older generation in your workforce where they have their relationships with who helps them get stuff done, and you're kind of this newcomer. And you have to like win them over in a sense until they'll get you in that ring of he's the guy I call for X. You know, we're kind of, I'm speaking for myself. I'm the kind of person that will just reach out to whoever I need to talk to. Most of the time when I talk to somebody who's older than me, they have a guy for something. Every time there's some sort of issue, they know who to go to, and they have their like verified list. Whereas, you know, with a millennial, you might have to like pay your dues, not to go back to that, but pay your dues to get onto that list of someone's Rolodex, so to speak.
That's funny. I actually am terrified going up the food chain. I don't like communicating upwards, even at my age and my position. I feel like the further you go up, the more chance of like, oh, wait a minute, you're not at the right level to communicate with me. And I think that's very corporate America, I think, but...
Exactly.
You know,
agree with you, Joey. I feel the same way, like where I get nervous to kind of reach out to someone at a higher level. I'd rather like go to someone that's in between us and be like, hey, can you reach out to so-and-so?
I mean, I've had bosses, like the first thing they do when somebody reaches out to them is look at like what their title is and where they're positioned before they respond to them. I mean, it was a long time ago, but I mean, that was literally the first thing, because I'd be in their office and they'd be like, oh, why don't you reach out to them?
Which is crazy, because I mean, Tori just said, I mean, she doesn't have to do any of that. It's like just instant flow of communication. It cracks me up. I mean, that's just the way a bigger company works, but it's ironic that you can jump every single layer in a company like hers.
That's true in a sense, but I think I gave kind of the wrong impression when I was talking before. I can say my ideas to her, but she does have relationships with other people, and I mean, I'm younger and I haven't experienced as much, so I do feel, I mean, I wouldn't be talking to her all the time, like every idea I have, I'd reach out to somebody a little lower in the food chain to talk to her first. So there is some of that at work, I think. Definitely less than, I think, for you guys, because you have such a larger company, but I don't know. I think the thing with being a millennial in the workforce is that you have to be really careful how you present yourself and of what you're thinking you say, more so than somebody who's been there for a while, because people are going to take you with a grain of salt.
I think that could happen at any point in your career. You know, you say you're in the wrong audience and you say the wrong thing, you're gonna pay for it later. There's going to be consequences. The people aren't going to take you seriously. I know that like the remote work topic or presence seems to be a discussion point. I know when we read these articles about millennials, it always seems to focus around flexibility, the word flexibility. All of you work in a major city, you know, and we work for companies that have offices in multiple locations. What's your take on this whole flexibility conversation? Is it a hype terminology where like, oh, everybody's flexible, everybody's 24/7? You know, is that something that you actually find preferential, or do you like the idea of core hours?
I'll jump in. I think my first thought is that, yes, it's awesome, but there's one caveat in the sense that if your manager doesn't really know how to let you have that freedom, it kind of can be a curse. And also, depending on what kind of work you're doing, sometimes you need to be in the office and engaged with other people. But overall, I mean, I think the remote aspect of work is really smart. I mean, at the end of the day, the infrastructure required to have an employee work remote is a lot less, and they're saving money commuting, just general stuff like that. I mean, we live in a world where you can literally video call with somebody across the entire planet in 1 minute, and it doesn't require a fee. Like, we're using Google Hangouts. I mean, why not utilize that technology and get things done on your own terms?
I like the idea of having that flexibility to work remote. I personally think I like try to stick to the core hours just because that tends to be when everyone else is working. So if you have to, like, if your job requires, you know, communication with other people, you kind of want to work off of the same timeline. But then I like having the flexibility. If you have to leave early to go do something, you can always, like, you know, go home and sign back on and finish something. So you don't feel like, oh my God, I have to stay at the office and finish this thing. You can kind of do it at your own pace and still make your deadlines, I guess.
You know, when I started out of college, I worked a lot of crazy hours. I mean, again, I don't know if I'm a millennial or not. I'm on the bubble. So I don't know if it's a millennial thing, but I think you guys are much better, or you can correct me if I'm wrong, at setting some boundaries. I think you guys have a better concept, or at least are building a better concept of home-life balance. You know, and again, that article and that video that we sent out, they kind of mentioned this whole like idea of, oh, I'll go do yoga for 3 hours, and then I'll come home and I'll do work. Is that something that is kind of appealing to you, like going home and like whatever project that you're working on at 10 o'clock at night because you went off and did a 3-hour yoga class? Is that something that is appealing to you, or would you rather just kind of do 9 to 5 and you're done?
I think that's appealing just because nowadays there are so many different opportunities that people have during the day. Like you said, like if you have a yoga class that maybe it might not be like in the middle of the day, but if you have to leave at like 3 o'clock, or even if you have like a doctor's appointment or something, it's convenient to not have to worry about missing that time because you can just make up for it later on.
Do you think that's indicative of the millennial generation, though? I mean, the technology has enabled that function to happen. Do you think that that's a core millennial trait? I mean, I remember 10 years ago when work from home technology started, and, you know, the people who I saw using that option the most was moms who had to take
their
kids.
Yeah, I think it's helpful for everyone.
Again, I feel like you guys are getting tagged with, oh, it's flexibility and you guys can come and go as you please and do all this stuff. But again, you know, that's the one good thing about working in a corporate office for a long time. You sort of see these technologies start to roll through. So I saw the primary users just being parents initially and using that flexibility to take care of their children. So it's interesting to see you guys getting labeled and kind of saying, oh, you guys like to work and come and go as you please. But I don't want to say that parents come and go as they please. That sounds terrible. You know, they knew how to use that flexibility. And when that became an option, they leveraged it. So I feel like it's a weird tag to kind of put on you guys because it's been around for so long and you're not the first generation to use it.
I think we might be maybe more inclined to utilize it maybe than someone else. Like, we might be more open to like asking our managers, hey, I have this thing, do you mind if I leave early and work later? Whereas maybe people in other generations might feel, oh, I don't know if I really want to ask them that, I don't want it to make me look bad or something like that. Maybe we just tend to be a little bit more outgoing and ask comfortable or confident asking our managers for that flexibility.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, I think maybe we're a little bit more comfortable combining all of the like technological things that are available to us now. For example, a lot of the older people in my company don't have email on their phones and some other things that would really help them work from home more often or work late into the night. And I also feel that millennials in general are more multitaskers than older generations. I mean, older generations are more used to doing things a certain way and they've always been doing it like that. So they're less open to, I guess, newer technologies and different ways of doing things.
You said a couple of interesting things there, and I want to break that apart to a couple of different threads. So I think one of the things about your generation that's unique is that you were probably, you know, people in their anywhere in their 20s and probably early 30s. This is probably the first time that your home technology surpasses the technology that you have in your office. This has been a paradigm shift. 10, 15 years ago, and I would even say 10 or 15 years ago, and certainly before that, the stuff that you had in the office, your email, your computer, was way better than the stuff you had at home. And, you know, you had way better printers and all the things and networks and internet speed. Now, the stuff that you have in the office is so locked down because we're concerned about security flaws and the breaches of information, and the stuff that you have at home can do so much more. What is your take on that? Because you are probably coming into work frustrated that you don't have the stuff that you have access to at home. I would love to hear your take on that.
That's interesting. And you're totally right. Now that I think about it, that's just another kind of hindrance that I come into work and I can't work at the speed that I would do something at home. I mean, we work for a company where you have to have at least 5 years backdated because they have to have it compliant with all these lockdown antivirus, encrypted, you know, this, that, and the other. And I could probably, if I had a couple of screens at my house, I had the computer I have, if I was allowed to use my work there, I could probably knock it out in half the time, depending on the project. But I think that's a good point to make. And I think that kind of ties back into all these studies are always saying, Tori mentioned, we're multitaskers. And that kind of gets shot down. If you're working on a slower machine or you have less resources around you, you're going to move slower because you cannot perform multiple processes if the computer can't keep up with it. So that's really interesting. That's a good point.
And Nipur, if you want to jump in too, I mean, you feel free to stop me. But then the other thing that I want to ask you guys is, you have access to this technology, you have access to this flexibility. What is your expectations and thoughts on when it's crunch time in the office, everybody's working 12, 13-hour days, 14-hour days, 15-hour days? You know, what's your take on that? You know, where your head's at around that type of situation?
I think everyone has busy periods. So I feel like personally, I understand that everyone is going to have those days, and at least we're all kind of doing it together. I don't know if that sounds lame, but like we're all really busy and everyone goes through those periods. So I don't really have any like negative effect. And there are some times where you're kind of, I guess not, you're always busy, but like you have a lighter workload and sometimes you have a heavier workload. So I think it all pretty much balances out.
Where's your line, guys?
I think I draw the line at I'm not going to be coming home and there's less hours of, I don't know, I have 6 hours until I got to be back in the office kind of thing. You know, I don't like it when it's like that, because I think there's also, I think there's a diminishing returns after you hit a certain amount of time working on something. Like if you're staring at a spreadsheet for 3 hours and you're stuck on this one thing and you're like thinking to yourself, I don't even know what my name is right now because I've been looking at this for so long. You know, you might as well go home, take it like an hour to just take a break and come back and you'll knock it out and a couple minutes because you just had that time to refresh. Maybe that's just a function of technology, because sometimes you just got to grind through something. And I think, Tori, you're probably in a situation where you have a design that you can't afford to take that time off. You just got to keep crunching and keep designing and keep rendering. So
definitely. There, that's really interesting to bring up because I think it really depends on the type of work that you do. However, I really do think that millennials in general work more. I mean, that's kind of a huge generalization to make and maybe offensive, and I'm sorry, but that just, I don't know. It seems like a lot of my friends who are working now, I just recently graduated from college and a lot of us are new to the workforce, but we work more, but at different hours. I think like my friend Connie, for example, will work. She'll work, she'll come in at 10, she'll leave at 6, she'll go to actually yoga, she actually goes to yoga like you guys were talking about, and then she'll go home and hang out with her friends, and then she'll go back to home to work on her computer at 10, and she'll work until like 5 in the morning, and then, I don't know, it's just this like new technology enables us to become workaholics, so I think that might be a little dangerous at sometimes. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I'm glad that Tori mentioned that because I feel like I've heard a lot of people say that millennials don't feel like they need to work hard and that they they like feel like, you know, that they should just be given promotions and that they don't work hard enough. But I agree with Tori. I think, at least I know from like my experience and my friends, like a lot of my friends go into the office on weekends. And I think because we are at this age, like we don't have kids that we have to take care of. So we actually can go into the office. Like we don't have to, you know, put dinner on the table for like our whole family. So we can work in the after or in the evenings when we come home. And I think that I feel like we actually work very hard and that we understand that you have to work hard and prove yourself in order to kind of move forward in the chain.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I can't remember if this is in the video, but I think I remember it being in there, was being motivated by the work that you do. And I think that might be a little bit of where people get this notion of millennials not wanting to do work or not working hard. I think we're more likely, and myself, I'll just be honest, I'm way more likely to shut off if I feel like the task at hand is kind of futile, or I'm not accomplishing something that's driving value for whoever I'm working for or the company is benefiting. Sometimes, I mean, it's a bad thing to do, obviously, but sometimes I feel like we're quicker to realize that maybe there's a better way to do this, or maybe we need to rethink this versus, again, total generalization. I could be completely wrong on this, but I think the ways of old, and I'm talking 40, 50 plus years ago, was, you know, you come to work and you got to work. It doesn't matter if it doesn't help anybody, but you need to go in, punch your card, deliver something to your boss, and you need to get out of there. Like, you can't be really questioning the way things are going, or saying you're dissatisfied with the way things are run.
That's a really solid point, John. One of the things that I was reading over the weekend, and I think it was a good summarization of, you know, in terms of promotions. I think you guys, the millennials, the word promotion seems to get wrapped up into a lot of the criticisms of you guys, right? And forgive me if I'm generalizing, but it seems like, oh, they want to get promoted fast, like Nupur said. There are some people that worked for a company and you're on a track, and every couple of years you get promoted. And, you know, they probably have these things like job grades or bands or whatever it is. And every couple of years is your time to get your bump. And it's like a clockwork. That's going away, or it's pretty much gone away. In some companies, it still exists. And they really haven't kind of come up with the thing that has to replace it. But the way it's going, and you guys can chime in and let me know if I'm wrong, the people who are being picked to be promoted, and however the structures are being organized, you want to call them hives, you want to call them matrixes, you don't necessarily have like a direct boss, you're just sort of this asset that gets moved around for projects. But the idea is we're promoting people and we're moving people up the ranks that are thought leaders, that are driving some kind of strategy. You're not a doer, you're a thinker, and you're somebody who's thinking on a strategic level. Sometimes that strategic focus comes with time and experience, right? You've learned a business. Now you're adding and you're trying to get a strategic focus on it. There are other times you're walking into a place that's a mess and you're a new set of eyes and you're like, all right, you guys are wasting a lot of energy. And I think that's where a lot of advantages for young people are. There's a paradigm shift in corporate structures and traditional office structures, right? Where you're in this middle spot where it's going to this other thing, but we're not quite there yet. And they sort of need those engines of change, which is probably going to be your generation, to get them there. But it's not quite happening yet because they still have to satisfy this in-between state, because these other people they have to take care of because they can't just completely ditch the workforce that they have. Your thoughts?
That's a lot to think about. Yeah. But I think one thing that came up to me while you're talking is I think there's more companies now that have a different structure with how they compensate people, and they kind of have more incentivized programs to say, I mean, it's typically with like a software company where they say, yo, guys, if you figure out this bug, you know, you'll get paid this bonus, or different ways where it's not just this ladder you got to climb, where you're kind of incentivizing people to change the process or improve upon something. And I think that somewhat ties, I mean, this is just me spitballing here, but somewhat ties to, well, we still do this now, is you have to, the company has to increase profit or expand by a certain amount. I mean, or otherwise you got shareholders complaining, and that kind of forces this. All right, we're growing as a company, we're more revenues coming in, so we can afford to give people a better salary. And that was because of the program put into by X CEO who has these guys as his guys, so they're going to get the bump. But I think there's a lot of value in thought-driven people, like you said, or people that come in and they're kind of, their job isn't to climb the ranks, it's to figure out a way to improve something, and they might get a bonus in some sort of non-tangible fashion. Kind of rambling a little bit, but that's just what I thought of.
The move right now is, or it has been for a while, is right, you bring in a consultant. I'm stuck, things aren't working the way I need them to, and you bring in a consultant. That drives me crazy personally. That's like one of my, that's always been one of my pet peeves, because you're expending valuable, you know, money on bringing in a consulting firm to dig you out of a hole instead of, you know, finding the right staff internally to execute a process, right?
Right.
And sometimes you need a consultant, right? Sometimes you literally just do not have the physical staff or the thoughts inside your organization to survive. And you got to bring somebody in from the outside. But I think it's a little bit more prevalent, because I think there's a fear factor of, if I generate this idea and it fails, there's no one else that's accountable except for me. So we're gonna whisper this idea in the consultant's ear. And then if it all goes belly up, we could just blame the consultant. I have an aversion generally for consultants in a general sense. There are specific use cases where I think it works and it makes sense, but I think that's what drives a lot of quote-unquote change in organizations. You bring in a series of consultants and then you see what they have to say. Do you see that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So there are two E's that always come up with millennials, all right? So there's a good and a bad. You guys are described as entrepreneurial. What was the other word? You know, it's expectations and it's entrepreneurial, right? What are your thoughts on that?
From my experience, looking at my friends and like my company around me, I think that that's pretty true for millennials. I think that's part of the reason that my friends work so much is they really want to have their own thing and have it grow. I mean, whether that thing is maybe they're trying to start a company, they're trying to get into stocks and like have great success there, or they want to just not have a boss or something, like whatever their expectations are, they just want to be very successful. And I really feel that while a lot of people are like that, I think it's more prominent in millennials because this is the age of making yourself better. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of where society is at right now. And we're really feeling the brunt of that kind of socialization, I guess, or conditioning. So I would agree that that's true.
This entrepreneurial spirit, I want to ask the question of where does it come from, because I think it should be everywhere. I mean, I think it's a good thing, but you guys graduate college. I mean, and you can, let's take it back to college. Do you feel like you've gotten enough training out of college to open up a business? Do you feel that you need to like work at a place and work for a boss to get like trained up to do something? You know, the stories that I hear, you know, and I don't know a ton of millennials. I don't interact with a lot of people who've started their own businesses. But it's sort of like, I graduated, I worked for some goblin for 3 months, and now I'm going to go start my own like web startup, right? It seems to be, or some kind of startup. It doesn't have to be a web startup. But that's sort of like, or that's the wrap, or that's the generalization, but that's the story in some format that you hear. I had my own business out of college, pretty much, a year and a half out of college, and it was a freaking disaster. I did not know how to run books. I didn't know how to do any of the out of the accounting. It took me a solid 2 years to learn how to do that stuff. Like, I was some computer guy, but all those other aspects of running the business, I had to learn, and my business definitely suffered until I learned how to do those things and did it myself and understood how those processes worked. Where your head's at that? Are you getting the education that you need to have that entrepreneurial spirit that's being fed, or is it just sort of like fake it till you make it?
I think there's so much information out there now, and everything's happening so fast that it's almost just, you got to just go out there and try it. Because, I mean, you go to a college course and then they'll present you with a book that is recycled every year. I mean, that's another story to make profit. But the information changes so quickly that you could take a 5-year course in some sort of major, and then by the time you graduate, it's changed. I think part of the entrepreneurial spirit, going back to the point before, it comes from that mass amount of information that you're constantly have access to every day. You're kind of just like, all right, well, what if I want to learn about this random topic? I can go off and Google it right now. I mean, I didn't know very much about computers when I was younger, but Google was still pretty damn awesome. I mean, 8-10 years ago, and you could access any kind of article that you wanted to read about something. So there's kind of the backup manual, so to say, there for you to read it whenever you want to get into something. Like, you can search a Wikipedia article on something and at least get your feet wet. Whereas before, I think you had to go to somebody and be kind of that apprentice. Whereas now the trial and error is a little bit shorter by the amount of information you have access to, or at least that's the way I see it.
You've been quiet, Nipur.
Yeah, I was waiting for the right time to jump in. I think that sometimes it could be helpful if you work for someone else, maybe for a short period of time, just to kind of get a sense of what it's like to work for someone else. And then you can kind of learn what you like and what you don't like. And I think going along with that whole entrepreneurial spirit, I feel like millennials might be more entrepreneurial because we kind of see what we like and we don't like. And then we kind of go off and try and start our own company and take all those things that we like and keep those. And then we kind of try and stay away from the things that we didn't like. And I think we kind of question, like, kind of like what John had said earlier, the stuff that we do, we want it to have value. So if we feel like maybe we can't find a job working for someone else where we feel like we're really providing value, so sometimes we just take it upon ourselves to start our own company. And then you know that you're definitely doing something that you know, has value to you and to other people. But I think it could be helpful. I mean, like what you said, Joey, it's a learning process no matter what, whether you go straight into it after college or whether you work for someone else first. But maybe sometimes working at another company and seeing how they got set up and how they're structured and things like that will give you ideas for when you then go on to start your own company.
I guess the question is, millennials, are corporations bad? Small companies good? I think I'm making it very simple. Let me paint a scenario for you and you tell me if you want to throw up. Job stability, you're working for a place, you progress, you have money in a 401k, or you know, there's no such thing as a pension anymore really, unless you work for the government. But you have this nice 401k that's been contributed to and you're on stable feet, you can retire and you're going to be okay. That idea of somewhat stationary corporate lifestyle, you know, you may have made a few hops. Is that something that just sounds completely unrealistic and impossible to you? Or is that something that has some degree of comfort?
I think that sounds lovely, but I also think it's different for every person. Some people I know would rather, you know, take risks and maybe work at a smaller company. And some people might, like me personally, like I like working at a big corporation, exactly like you have a 401k, all that stuff. And I kind of have that in the future that I want to retire, obviously, as early as possible while still maintaining all the financial stuff that I need. But some people, I think, want to work always. So, like, I know people that, like, want to keep working for as long as they can because they don't ever want to be just, like, sitting at home. I don't know if that was, like, off tangent, but...
No. I think that's... I mean, I really... The idea of being fully retired to me is disturbing. I can't just sit on my butt all day. I'm just not that guy. I'd have to, you know, I'd have to have something to do. So I get it. John, you've been quiet.
Well, I don't want to hog the microphone. I mean, I feel like I talked a lot. I don't know. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I can't really envision that just as a function of, I don't know if I'm going to be alive that long from now. Like, I feel
like. Oh, shush. You're a very healthy person.
Where are you going, John?
So. Think about how fast technology is progressing and how crazy everything gets. I mean, every year it's exponentially different and we're making these smaller computers and we talk about remote work and all that kind of stuff. I mean, are we even going to be in a scenario where we need to be, all right, grab my suitcase, going off to work? Like, we might just be, things might be automated to the point where our jobs are entirely different. I mean, there's so many things that once we get into a job, I feel like there's always that push to say, how can I make this a more streamlined process or automated? And when we keep doing that and doing that and doing that, it gets to a certain point where what more jobs can you do that haven't already been automated? I mean, that's kind of like a doomsday thought that a lot of people talk about. And I know there's like Stephen Hawking and some of those guys say, well, look out for the evil AI. When you give them all the jobs, they're going to revolt Skynet style and kill everybody. But I think the job life will be so much different then that I don't even know if it will be retiring. You might not even be worried about your age because you're going to be, all right, well, I have enough money to go down to the hospital and get my stem cell injection. And all right, now I feel like I'm 30 again. Like I'm good to keep working. I don't know. It's a little bit of an abstract thought, but that's
a good
the way
point.
I look at it.
Now we're going to shift to the AI conversation. Everybody has this dystopian future, but you and I have talked about this before. The reality is if you have this AI that's replacing a lot of the mediocre tasks, there's a lot of people that are envisioning that you'd have a 20-hour work week. And then there's this concept of having a living wage that everybody has to make. Right now, this sounds very utopian, but you have this living wage that everybody's making. You're working 15 to 20 hours a week just to keep doing something, I guess. And now you have all this free time to do whatever. So, you know, it could go that way. I hope it does. That would be awesome. But on the flip side, again, it goes back to my point. I don't think I could just sit on my butt all day. I'd have to
sign me up for that. Sign me up.
I would be out in a woodshed just like carving things then. Like I don't even do that now, but I would have to come
your
up
with your level of activity retired would be more active than the average person working. There's no way you can't sit still. So
I can't, man. And like my father is 67. He's never going to retire. He's a butcher. He is on his feet every day. And this is voluntarily. He has one day off. And the one day that he has off, he is pacing around the house driving my mother crazy. It's going to be the same way. I'm just wired that way. But speaking around pacing around places, open workspaces. You know that I don't like the idea of an open workspace personally. But I read another article this morning about millennials, how get rid of the cubes. The cubes are bad. Open offices. I would love to hear what your take is as millennials on the concept of an open office. And then I'll circle back.
As a millennial who works in furniture design for offices, I would have to say that everybody in the world right now seems to be totally into that idea. Millennials and big corporations and everybody else included. I really don't like it personally. I think that's just not enough privacy. I mean, people work in different ways. Some people like to be a little bit like closed off. Some people like to be very connected to other people, but I just feel like that doesn't support all of the different types of workers. Your work environment sculpts how you work, obviously. So why would you make one where you can't really change your environment very much? You're just always exposed to everything instead of being in a cubicle where you can, or with some walls around you where you can get up and talk to other people. I don't know. It's just my... Yeah.
I totally agree with what Tori said. I like having cubes and then maybe, I don't want to say like a collaboration space, but like a place where people can go and kind of socialize and talk if they wanted to. And I mean, when you're in cubes, it's not like you can't talk to someone else. It's just that you guys aren't like right next to each other and there's kind of a little bit of a barrier. So along with what Tori said, you can kind of choose whether or not you want to participate in something, or if you need your privacy and like your kind of separation, you still have kind of both situations.
I always joke that I need like a glass box. I don't need a big space, but I need a place that, I mean, if you're on the phone all day, the idea of the open office, I think, comes from Google and developer spaces, right? So this work shift, this paradigm shift, and I think that the millennials get tagged with because there's a lot of millennial people that are generating those changes like Facebook and Google, although the guys at Google are not millennials. But the idea is that there's these open workspaces. They're beautiful. They're open. They're collaborative. And I think that works if you're a developer. If you're some person, I shouldn't say guy, if you're a guy or a girl that's sitting down and you're coding all day and you're quiet and you may have to like look over to your, you know, your fellow coder and say, hey, man, I'm having a problem with this bug. You know, you can have a conversation about it. That totally makes sense in that context. But if you're on the phone all day and you are literally having conversations all day and then the dude or lady next to you is on the phone all day having conversations and then the person on the left of you is on the phone all day, that's a horrible setup from a work environment perspective. I mean, you guys are going to laugh. You know that I'm loud. I'm self-conscious of how loud I am and I try to stash myself away, or if days that I know that I'm going to be on the phone all day, I'll stay home so you guys don't have to hear me. You know,
we're used to it.
It's like I feel bad about how loud I am and I'm constantly worrying, trying to like monitor how loud my tone is just to not disturb people on the floor. And it's an issue, right? And we're not even that open. But like, I don't think it's a good setup. I think that's a way of really irritating your fellow coworkers.
Yeah. And Tori, I totally agree with you too. I think you need that option. I think the open workspace, people are overcompensating in these companies. They're saying, oh my God, we're too closed off. Let's open the workspace up and just nobody has any walls or any privacy. That'll be so productive for creativity. But then it's just like, all right, everybody around me, shut up. I need to focus on this. And I think it's funny because we have a pretty old school design, Joey Napur and I.
It's
and
as close as it can get. I mean, it's just yeah, like stereotypical.
And we'll be doing our own stuff, but then randomly, you know, somebody will walk over and we'll stand by filing cabinets and we'll start spitballing about something. And, you know, now that I think about it, if we had a more comfortable space and we had maybe like some sort of tool in front of us that we could pull something up while we're talking about it, you know, we might actually come up with some ideas on the fly. And it's kind of that ad hoc open space that's there for you, but you don't have to use it. And I think that kind of is an interesting half and half scenario.
They need to just give us phone booths, basically. Like, I need a phone booth with a chair where the sound can't leak out. And then when it's time for me to come out of my phone booth and like just go to the common space area, that's what they need, man. Like, I need to be in a sound isolation booth. It doesn't have to be big, but, you know, and it could be glass. You can see exactly what I'm doing. I'm not trying to hide anything. I just...
So you can go in and change into your Superman outfit right when you need to.
That's exactly right.
Clark Kent.
We've been talking for an hour about the state of millennials. I'll go back to my original premise or what I said earlier. I don't call you millennials. I call you people. And I don't think that you have needs that are any different than the needs of anybody else that would have been coming up 25 years ago. The technology is a little bit different. You need to be nurtured. You need to be developed. You need to have someone you could bounce ideas off of. And I don't think that's different than anybody else who has ever worked anywhere. You're living it. What are your thoughts? You're all quiet?
No, I agree 100% with what you just said. I think, yes, we need to kind of be, I don't know if you used the word nurtured, I can't remember, but like, I think that's true for anyone that enters the workforce. We happen to be the generation that is now entering the workforce, but the next generation that comes after us and the generation that came before us, like everyone is new to the workforce at some point. I feel like people have developed a lot of generalizations about our generation, and I don't know if they're necessarily true. And then other people build new generalizations and stereotypes off of that. And sometimes I think people, I don't even think people are really asking millennials what they think or how they feel about those things. Everyone's just kind of talking about it and saying their own opinion.
Well, how do you feel?
I don't like the term millennial. I think it has, I think people have given it a negative context. Like now when people bring up millennials, I pray to God that no one looks at me and is like, well, you're a millennial, so what do you think? Because like now I feel like it's negative. Like I feel like they're judging me because of my age.
I feel like there's always that millennial versus baby boomer like workforce comment that people make about, you know, like at first it was everybody who's a millennial is entitled. And then now there's this huge back surge of everybody saying, well, guess what, baby boomers, you know, we're spending all this money on college and you guys could buy a house and while working as a janitor. And like, well, that's true. There's this like reverse in ideology. And I think I like when you said, you know, I see you as just people. Like just because somebody is 45 and still working at a company doesn't mean that they don't potentially have a liking for an open workspace or a remote workspace, or they have some crazy idea. I think sometimes people focus too hard on, oh, the millennial workforce are the ones that we got to nurture with these ideas because they're so open to technology. Sometimes the older people just want help with the technology. I mean, they're just not used to it. So sometimes they come up with awesome ideas because they've been around the company long enough. And then once, as soon as they learn that new tool, they say, hey, you know, here's how we could change it. So I think sometimes we need to break down, like Nupur said, it's not, don't have to categorize. I mean, it helps to know what generation came up with what kind of technology, but I think sometimes people focus on it a little bit too hard.
Do you think that some of the concern around your generation is because of the fact that you're probably the first generation that is coming out of college with an astronomical amount of debt? This debt is probably going to result in the fact that you're these traditional life value things that people use as measuring stones, like you get married, you have babies. You guys are probably going to do that later in life because of the amount of debt that you've incurred. That's certainly trending. You guys are going to get married later. You guys are going to have children later, if children at all. You're going to have a substantial amount of debt coming out of college, and you're coming into jobs that that are showing that you're getting paid a little bit less, even all things being equaled compared to like the 1980s. It's not the same money when you adjust for inflation. You factor all these things in. Do you think that that impacts the way that people are perceiving you?
I definitely do think that, because, I mean, those are huge values that people have, maybe not so much people in their 30s or like maybe even their 40s, but I don't know. I know a lot of people at work and older people in my family have told me, like, you don't have the right values. Your generation doesn't have the right values. I think it really alters their perception of us, because those are things that they grew up knowing were like the biggest, most important things in life, like getting married, having children, especially on my really traditional Indian side. That's a huge deal. And culture comes into play a lot in a lot of situations, obviously, but I definitely think that impacts how people see us.
I think there's just more going on now. I mean, there's traditional archetype of a family is not even remotely the same as how it used to be. I mean, you got same gender parents, so many different ways that people are expressing themselves now. And like, we're finally as a society coming to accept all that kind of stuff. Nupur and I were so kind of flabbergasted describing it because we don't really think about it all that much. I'm speaking for both of us, but.
Hold on. We have audio problems.
Technical, I dropped my phone.
Well, that's certainly an audio problem.
Oh, you millennial. Multitasking.
Multitasking.
But I was going to say after John finished talking that, yeah, like, I agree. I don't really think about it that much, but I think it's more, I think, and kind of like what Tori said, I think we still have those values, but we're maybe not in a rush to, like, get married like people were before. Now people kind of want to go at their own pace, and like what John said, like, people in our generation are maybe more open to new ideas. So before, everyone was like, we're on this plan where you graduate from college, you work for a few years, you get married, you have a kid, blah 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 blah. Whereas now we kind of, not to open up a can of worms, but like, gender roles have changed. Like, now, like, women don't feel like, oh, I need to find a husband and like settle down. And so I think people still maybe want to get married, people still want to have kids, they're just not in a rush to do all those things like one after the other and immediately.
Well, I also think that, you know, we're sort of the, and I include myself in this, we're the post-divorce generation. So, you know, you saw the baby boomers get married and get divorced, and horrible divorces, and, you know, then you saw the generation of latchkey kids. Those values, when you see 50% of your peer group, you know, the parents are going through divorces and stuff like that. That's certainly, I think, outside of the financial impact of, you know, what you're coming out of in college with the debt, that certainly, I think, slowed a lot of people down. I think that's very informing of your generation, right? And my generation, too. I definitely feel part of that. So the traditional milestones and the traditional beats that people seem to rely on to kind of gauge where you are at in life, that's all out the window.
I agree with what you said. And I think because those things are changing, it's like not scaring people, but you know how everyone feels about change. And I think that maybe sometimes is why people are like, oh, your generation. And it's because it's like these new things that are happening and these changes that are happening. But I agree with what you said. I think those are all fair and valid points.
I think people just like to put everything in buckets. You know, let's take this whole millennial thing off the table. You know, what kind of music do you like? It's got to be in a bucket. It can't just be like this thing that you listen to. People can't get their head around it unless it's in a bucket. Right?
Yeah, oh. It can't be actively changing. You know, I feel like I'll listen to any kind of music at any given time, and sometimes I'll go through these random spurts where I'll hate a music that I used to like, or just I'll come back around to it eventually. Sometimes things are just kind of fluid now.
Everything is fluid. Nothing is in its buckets anymore. Be like water. You have to flow.
Bruce Lee.
All right, you gotta be like Bruce Lee. You guys have any closing comments?
No, I think we should play this in the next town hall and like,
you know, I can't.
Sometimes I feel like,
you know, I'm going to have to edit all of that out in the port.
Yes, sorry.
Too specific.
Way too specific.
I know. I was really digging a hole there.
But it was so good until you mentioned the name. Yeah. I was like, I'm totally going to use this. And now I'm like, oh, okay, I might have to cut it out. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining. Did you have a good time?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I did.
I feel so accomplished being on a podcast.
John, what do you think our outro should be today?
I think the outro should be something crazy by Action Bronson. Acting Crazy. I don't know.
Acting Crazy. All right. Thank you, guys. I really do appreciate you taking the time out to be on this crazy podcast, and I will let you listen to it before I let it go live.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks.
All right. Don't say it's too fun because you'll be on the next one. I kiss my mother on the cheek, tell her that I love her. You ain't gotta worry about a thing, I got it covered.